You're listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome to Spartan Dog Radio. You're listening to Timbo Gracchus, Andre Hudson, and Todd Duckett.
Spartan Dog Podcast is brought to you by Conquest Health and Fitness. Reshape, rebuild, and renew your life. Get in there, swing a kettlebell, get a massage, stretch, do Pilates. It's all right there. One-stop shop. Get in there and work out. Simple Tees. It's the best t-shirt company in the area. They print shirts. They give back. Get your shirts printed there. Embroidery, hats, posters, pennants, whatever you need, car decals. Proportion of the proceeds is going back to the community. An Evergreen Car Wash and Detail. Ride like a champion today. Guys, girls, look at one thing first, and that's your shoes on your car. Get in there and get those things cleaned up. We're back, Spartan Dog Podcast, and we got a special guest today. Quarterback, 1998 through 2001, pride of Marshall, Van Diddy from the city.
Van Diddy.
Ryan Van Dyke.
Welcome, Van Dyke. Yeah, right.
That might have been the best intro I've ever done.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah, studio audience, too, huh?
Yeah, you like that? Welcome, Van Dyke.
Thanks, man. I wanted to come and sit down with you guys, so thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. And, you know, Van Dyke and I, we all went to school together, but I had the pleasure to play on the same team with this guy right here and go back a long way. And thanks for joining us on our show and being able to share some wisdom with our listeners. To jump right in it. Let's jump right in it.
Before we start, Van Dyke was one of the he was on my official visit. I hung out with Van Dyke. I knew Michigan State was going to be fun from that point forward.
Yeah. I remember when TJ first found out he had muscles and was like, I can do this with these? So that's how far we go back.
I mean, it goes way back. And a lot of this conversation, it's good because we do talk about sports. But we're going to start, we talk a lot more about our careers after. Mm-hmm. And it's funny what you just said where you realize all of a sudden you're in the weight room or something. Yeah. And this is, you can do this. This is different.
Yeah, right.
And I think that's kind of where we're at now too. In business world, it's, we can do this and you can do this. So jumping into it, a topic that I want to talk about a little bit is seizing the moment. Carpe diem. It's recognizing it. It's taking advantage of it. It's understanding it. And one of my fondest memories from us playing together was, I think it was 1999, and we were playing against Penn State. It was the final game of the season, and it was weird. We could go to a bowl game. It was really what bowl game?
Yeah.
Citrus Bowl, I think it was. And Penn State was pretty good. And it came down to the end of the game. It was a back and forth game, crazy game. But I'll never forget, man, it was a 4th and 1. A minute or so left. I don't know if you remember much about it.
I do.
Do you want to tell a little bit about the backdrop for it?
It was row 45, boot right.
Row 45.
Yeah. That was, you know, and I thought about that game. I was actually unpacking some of my stuff the other day, and I had a ring. That Citrus Bowl ring, and I thought about that game, and I thought about the game on the way here, and just how that whole thing unfolded. But the energy that we had, and you know, wanting to get to that next level, not wanting to settle for a, I don't know, like an average bowl.
Yeah.
And the energy was going against us in the second half, and you know, we really rose to the occasion.
And for y'all that don't know, I was a freshman that game, and I was blessed to have a few carries and make a few plays. So in my head, it was 4th and 1, and I'm getting the rock.
Yeah.
And the play was called. And to this day, I don't know if – because it wasn't called what it was called in the play.
Right.
What everybody else said. Ryan called a play, roll 45, break.
Yeah.
So I'm getting the ball.
Right.
Go ahead, dude.
Well, I was hoping you wouldn't bring that up, but since you did.
Did he change the play call or what?
It was raining.
Go ahead.
The snap bobbled.
Yeah.
All right. Which I was having problems getting snapped because it wasn't our regular center anyway. And I bobbled the snap, and rather than give it to you because the play would have been off sync, I was like, screw it, man. And I took it around the edge and thankfully, Courtney Brown, the number one pick of the draft, bit hard.
And that's what I kind of vaguely remembered. And that's where when we knew you were going to be on the show, that moment, that time right there, you could have followed through, you could have bobbled it, you could have gave it to me. Yeah. But in that moment, all the things that registered in 10 seconds or less than
half a second,
you made that decision, and that decision changed the game.
Yeah.
And that's one way that I can say right now, season a moment, taking advantage of the opportunity, that's a great example.
Had you ever practiced not handing the ball off to him on that play? Like, had you practiced keeping it?
On a called play. Not ad-lib. I mean, it wasn't really an ad-lib. It was just like, in a split second, I had to say, this doesn't feel right, and go. And sometimes you got to make, sometimes you don't know when the opportunity is going to present itself.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, because I was going to say, a lot of time we're used to, like, with our preparation for a sporting event or whatnot, you're practicing almost blindly, not knowing when it's coming. Mm-hmm. Like, you had made that same move probably 1,000 times, but you never knew, you might not have ever had to use it.
Yep.
But that's the reason you were able to say, in your mind, in that split second, I'm keeping it going around the corner.
Yeah. And it worked out too, thankfully. If it didn't, you can't think like that. It's kind of got to be just one way.
So, that now fast forward 10 years, as Dre and I were talking about walking in. Mm-hmm. Fast forward in that. Now we're in our business careers. Maybe just share a little bit about what it is you got going on now, what you're doing now.
Yeah, about 6 months ago, I started a career in insurance. I work for Meadowbrook Insurance in Southfield, Michigan. We're a nationwide company, a big agency, but I sell insurance to businesses, commercial insurance. And I was kind of, I'm glad you brought it up. Since I got done playing football, which was probably 2007, I was scared of what I was going to do. Like, I didn't really know if I cared about anything as much as you guys and, in football and sports and everything. And mm-hmm. I was a little freaked out of, man, what am I going to do for the rest of my life? So I knew that I cared about people. I knew that I cared about doing a good job. And, through the help of a friend, looking through life and business and through his lens, it just kind of helped me, take advantage of that opportunity that presented itself.
Yeah, that's good to hear you say that, man. I think for a lot of listeners out there in all areas of life, we all had that moment where we're a little afraid or not sure what that next step is, and how we're going to make that transition, which really relates to our topic about seizing that moment. I, when I think about to all the great players and athletes that you've seen, even amongst ourselves, when we actually seized that moment, we prepared ourselves for that moment. Mm-hmm. And we went in to that moment confident already before it even came, or if you look at the great players, the reason why people are able to seize the moment and make those great plays or great decisions is because they prepared themselves, kind of like what Tim was saying, like you constantly do it so much that when it comes, it's just natural. Mm-hmm. But for those who are afraid to take that chance or even afraid to dream, dream to be in that situation, mm-hmm. or to plan or to practice,
that's true.
When that moment comes, you can't make it. You don't know how to react.
So would you say part of seizing the moment is dreaming of the moment?
Definitely got to dream, but it's also preparing.
If I had to go in steps.
If you had to go in steps.
I would say first is like it's the dream.
Right.
It's to kind of just look at it.
And I think that's what Ryan is saying. Like, he didn't know, when he got done with football, what he was going to do. He was a little bit scared to take that next step, but it was something inside him that said, hey, I got to do this, or something's got to happen.
You're tuned to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
You listen to the Spartan Dog Podcast Radio. Did you have a vision when we're meeting with Ryan Van Dyke? did you have a vision of you said you were a little scared of what the next moment might be. Did you have an idea of what your life, what you wanted it to shape to look like?
Yeah, I wanted to make a lot of money. wanted to have, a family and live in a nice house and the white picket fence and all that stuff. But obviously that's just that's end goal, and at least trying to formulate the steps that I need to take to be able to get there. was a little bit overwhelming. So, you know, like I said, I knew I cared about people. I knew I cared about doing a good job. I just had to figure out what it was. It didn't happen right away. I hung in there, asked for some advice, some guidance, got it, and, you know, sky's the limit now. Feel great about what I'm doing.
Yeah, it's the most important thing that you might have just said there is that you know, you stayed the course, but you asked for advice.
Yeah.
I think, you know, a lot of guys are afraid to say, you know what, I am afraid of the next step. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to get there. And they don't go ask those questions. And I think we've all realized there's so many smarter people than we are in the world and they know how to get there, so, and they're willing to give that advice, but we just have to take that step of asking.
Yeah, and I also think, too, you know, people are like, oh, well, he's going to be a good hire. He was great at sports.
Yeah.
Well, what does that exactly mean? And for me, it, like, I don't know, maybe I just didn't get it, or I had a disconnect, but when you're playing and you're trying to get better at your free throws or improve your post game or, you know, improve your 40, you're asking for advice the whole way through, and you have a coach.
Mm-hmm.
So identifying a coach that you care about, doing a good job for,
right,
and obviously having that, you know, reciprocal, is paramount, I mean, to being successful.
I think, too, it's the confidence factor.
Oh, yeah.
It's the in our respective sports, we knew we were good at our sport. Mm-hmm. So it was no fear to go and ask for help and get a little bit of I mean, we knew we were talented, so if someone says, oh, you don't know how to do that, and, like, I can do everything else,
yeah,
right,
this is going to be an extra piece, and I'm cool. But now, in the next part, it's like, I'm not as confident to go in here to ask the dumb question. You know, I always say no question's a dumb question.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not confident, you have to ask the dumb questions.
Yeah, I mean, the only way that we ever got that confidence was through the rep. You know,
yeah,
we repped over and over, yep, and over. And it'd be like selling insurance. It'd just be like throwing you into a business and saying, in your first day, hey, go sell.
Oh, okay.
Go sell these. Yeah, and sure, you'll give it, like, what?
Thanks.
Okay, I'll give it. But it's that constant practice. I think that's kind of what they identify as an athlete is going to be a good hire, because we're used to the rep. We're used to practicing. We're used to getting better. You know, we understand those kind of things, and that's kind of how we're built. But that whole confidence piece is scary, because a lot of people don't want to put that work in anymore. They just want the end goal, like you said. But you're identifying the steps along the way, which is the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Again, I think that's what it's all about. It's about putting that work in, man. I mean, it's all kind of falls back into that situation. When just thinking about this topic, you know, season and moment, I think about to my freshman year when I came into college. You know, I kind of told this story already, but I wasn't highly recruited. I think they had ideas of even possibly redshirting me if Shane Battier would have came here. But
didn't he just
or walking on the football team as a quarterback?
Yeah, you know.
Save me a couple times this spring.
Yeah, well, I got a couple walk-on offers too, but you know, fortunately he went to Duke, so I got an opportunity at least to get on the floor. You know, so. You know, the first couple games, I had a couple guys, A.J. Granger, who had started the year before as a freshman, and DeJuan Wiley was a senior. So I had two guys ahead of me already, and Antonio Smith pretty much had a spot. But I think when I got that opportunity, I was prepared for it, and it came early. I mean, it was like the second game of the year. You know, A.J. had a bad game the first game, so boom, he was out. You know, DeJuan's in the next game. And this was a time where Coach Iz was on, you know, it was tough. He's just coming off of NIT season. It's like his third or fourth year. He has to make something happen. So jobs are up in the air. And that second game, you know, I look up and I'm in the starting lineup as a freshman, me and Charlie out there starting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, here we are. But the thing about it, I felt ready. You know, when I first came to this campus in the summer, it was I wasn't ready. I didn't know what was going on. I was, you know, running around with like a chicken with his head cut off, just didn't know what to do. But, you know, that summer of preparing, that fall of conditioning and being around the guys, you know, by the time the season started, man, I felt like a part of the team, like I belonged out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so when my time came, I was ready to do it.
Yeah.
And again, it fell back to that preparation, you know, the work that I put in that summer and that fall to gain the confidence, you know what I mean, to gain the confidence to be in that position. So I think that's important, man, for anybody. Like, yeah, I said, in any aspect, you got to – for something – there's a dream, there's an idea, something out there that you want to do, pursue it, you know, ask for help. Like we said, you got to get help along the way, but you got to have the desire to do it. You can't just have your hand down and think it's going to come. You know what I mean? You got to put the work in and get it done.
I got a question, Vanditti. Mm-hmm. Going into the new job you're in now, mm-hmm. what was the first couple days like? Because Andre just shared what his first days were like playing here at Michigan State. Yeah. What were your first days like in this job, and how do they compare? How does going in there that first day compare to coming a freshman year for you?
Right. There's 50 people that I work with in our agency. And this is kind of how I got the job. And this is no kidding, because if you recall, I always had great relationships with everybody.
Yes.
Like, I knew where everybody was from. I knew their number. I knew, you know, their parents' name, because I probably hosted them. Mm-hmm. And I went at my first couple of days of work a lot like that, getting to know people. Because I think people want to be known. You know, mm-hmm. people want you to ask them questions and them to feel important, and especially if it's coming in from a genuine place. You know, like, I really would like to know who I'm working with.
Right.
You know, and I think, you know, with what you were saying about the basketball, Andre, is you prepared that whole summer. You know, you felt good about it. You felt good about the guys.
Right.
If you got a good group of people that are around you that are going to support you, you know, even if you're competing and you have the same position within a company or a team, I think it makes it so much easier for you to feel good about doing a good job, you know, because they're going to support you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you feel like once people figured out you were genuinely interested in them, that they started to open up to helping you a lot more?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I mean, to put into words, that kind of stumps me. But I felt good about it.
Yeah.
So I thought about, like, how can I make this job different? And I related a lot of it back to, what's the first day like walking in the locker room?
Yeah.
What's that like?
Yeah.
And that really helped me. You know, that's one of those connecting pieces.
So you were terrified, is what you're saying.
I wasn't terrified. I was intimidated. Yeah. I mean, when you walk in there, and Robert Smith's walking at you, and, you know, Cedric Irvin, you know.
Boo-boo.
Boo-boo. Well, he wasn't there yet. But, it's intimidating when you're a young guy.
And even then, coming into the sports, you had the skill.
Right.
I mean, and the skill still... The fear was still there, and going into this, your new job, was the skill ever an issue? Did you have the skill? Were you able, or was that like I said, walking into freshman as football? I got the skill. It's just understanding what it is that I need to be doing.
I think that if you care about something enough, you'll make it happen.
Yeah.
And you know, right now I care about being great at what I'm doing. I care about being great at who I'm doing it for, and I won't fail, you know, as a result. I mean, you know that mindset.
Yeah,
That one track.
You're listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
You're listening to Spartan Dogs Podcast Radio with Todd Duckett, Timbo Gracchus, Andre Hudson, and our special guest is Ryan Van Dyke. Another question I got for you is you also had a post-college career. Mm-hmm. You played professional football a little bit, played arena a little bit, I think.
Mm-hmm.
When was that moment you knew it was over? When you said, okay, football, I'm hanging it up, and I'm pursuing other things. And when you realized that moment, what was that transition like for you?
Just kind of relating to back to what I was saying, I felt like I didn't care about it as much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were different interests that I had that, you know, I wanted to, quote unquote, get busy with life. I felt like when I got done playing and you just jump into the professional sports world, I think you lose out on a lot of necessary building blocks to become an adult, you know, such as you have an agent and everything, and you know, they're paying your bills and just little stuff like that. So I felt like maybe I was stunted in that growth process, and I wanted to get busy with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but when I got done, it was like, okay, I'll find a job doing anything. Somebody will hire me. And it's like, wow, okay, it's really not that easy. Huh? Oh, I don't have a degree yet? Yeah, we'll go back and get it, and then you can come talk to us.
It's that quarterback mentality, man.
Just yeah. So
very confident.
That was very humbling, because, you know, I thought I thought that I could do whatever anybody else could do. But the fact of the matter is it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
And I think that anybody that has that mindset, that's a dangerous mindset. I wish I would have had some guys like, you know, you guys, or, you know, some an adult, like, grab me and say, hey. Yeah. But, you know, I don't even know if that would work, just because.
Yeah, but sometimes it's good to go out there and learn the lesson yourself, right?
Yeah,
learn
right.
it the hard way. I mean, it's nothing that. It's not like learning a lesson the hard way. Yeah. It sticks with you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
I think we've all experienced that at some point.
Yeah, and that's we all, everything you just said, all of us has, we all went through.
Right.
Like, especially moving away from East Lansing.
Yeah.
And then moving back to East Lansing and thinking, oh, it's going to be amazing. The world's
right.
And the reality, it wasn't mm-hmm. what we thought. And that it's refreshing to know that we're not the only ones, first of all, but it's also great to know that someone who, for me personally, I played with, has went through that same transition period, mm-hmm. and has come out on it on the other side, and it's a new foundation, a new beginning of life, and to know the mentality you have anyway. I mean, whatever employer you're with, or when you decide to start your own, it's a lot of confidence yeah. that I believe it'll be successful regardless.
Like, the thing that I learned most from Michigan State, I didn't have a spectacular career. I didn't set any records. It wasn't necessarily fun all the time. I got hurt all 4 years, and I prepared so hard, and it was. Sometimes it was a foot, sometimes it was a finger, stuff that, you know, if you played any other position, it wouldn't matter, but I was a quarterback. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with all the expectations and the publicity, and, you know, I didn't get it done. You know, and I kept telling myself that, and it was very humbling, and I needed that, you mm-hmm. know. But the thing that I look back on now is, man, I got through it.
Yeah,
you know what
absolutely.
I mean, and if I can get through that,
yeah,
you know, the pressure of 50,000 students and alumni across the world beating you down, I can get through anything.
There it is.
So,
man. I mean, and
forget about that.
To me, that's recognizing the path, recognizing mm-hmm. what it's about, and I mean, I don't ever believe it's always about the glitz and the glamour that creates people. It's exactly what you just said. It's the dark moments. It's the down times. That's what really creates who we are, mm-hmm. and us participating in athletics allowed for more of those dark down times, mm-hmm. not just from our own inside, but like you said, there's people on the outside, there's critics who mm-hmm. they can physically watch you do your job, and they add whatever is extra to help bring you back, and now when you go into the next half of this, the normal everyday person doesn't have that. They haven't experienced that, mm-hmm. so
the criticism in the everyday work world is never as hard as a big time athlete takes. I'm sorry, I tell people that if you're having a bad day, I'm sorry, but it's not as bad as having, you know, a head coach yelling down your throat or 70,000 people booing you.
Yeah. Right.
So,
oh, I remember when you got yelled at against
Iowa. Pick a game. Yeah, pick a game.
Right. By the story when you got yelled at some point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got yelled at yesterday from there. So. So what?
Well, good. Well, thank you, Van Dyke.
Hey, thanks,
you for
guys.
Joining us.
Man, absolutely.
We want to end with we've been talking about seizing the moment, and a couple of things that I remember you saying were just dreaming, preparing, advice. Mm-hmm. If there's something that you could leave with our listeners, summing up either your experience or this conversation, what would that be?
I would say a few things. I would say, number one, lead with your heart. You know, if you have good intentions, that'll shine through. Yeah. Number two, give it everything you got as far as effort. You know, and that's not just working, that's thinking about it too. It'll happen. Try to be as educated as you can. If that means going to college, great. If it means going into an internship out of high school or something, go do that. But be educated, never stop learning, and they'll find the way.
There it is.
That sound like
Marshall's finest.
Sound like some Spartan dog pillars
there,
right there.
There it is. I like it.
Well, thank you for listening to Spartan Dog Podcast. Van Dyke, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
This won't be the last time for sure.
Thanks for being here, appreciate man. You. Appreciate it.
Spartan Dog Podcast, we're out.
Go Green.
Go White.
Go State.
Yes.
That was another Spartan Dog Podcast featuring Todd Duckett, Timbo Grakas, Andre Hudson, and guest Ryan Van Dyke. To hear the conversation again or to hear any of the Spartan Dog podcasts, please visit SpartanPodcast.com.
Hi, it's Scott Westerman from the MSU Alumni Association. We've all heard the expression, it's all about who you know. And wherever you are on your career ladder, having a friend on the inside can make all the difference. When you join the MSU Alumni Association family, you're instantly connected to 500,000 Spartans around the world, many of whom are key decision makers in just about every major enterprise. Whether you're looking for a way in or a way up, your MSU Alumni Association affiliation can help you link up with that MSU alum who'll always take your call just because you're a Spartan. Building your network right now before you need it is the best possible career insurance, and joining the MSU Alumni Association is the best possible way to get the most out of your Spartan life. Learn more online at alumni.msu.edu. That's alumni.msu.edu. The MSU Alumni Association, your personal network for life.
The Michigan State University Department of Radiology is a leader in MRI, imaging research, and patient care. From world-class research to state-of-the-art patient care, we're providing outstanding diagnostic imaging technology. We're also a leader in sports medicine, delivering quality care to athletes and sports participants of all ages. Visit us online at rad.msu.edu and see how we are boldly designing the future.
You're tuned to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome to Spartan Dog Radio. You're listening to Timbo Grakas, Andre Hudson, and Todd Duckett.
Spartan Dog Podcast, brought to you by Conquest Health and Fitness. Reshape, rebuild, and renew your life. Evergreen Car Wash and Detail. Get out there and ride like a champion today. Simple Tees, they do shirts, they give back. Let's get into it. We got another special guest today. One of the all-time greats. He's hanging in the rafters. Banners on banners on banners. Mateen Cleaves is joining us today.
All right.
What's up, Mo?
What's up?
Yo, about time y'all got me on the show. Now let's get these ratings up. That's what I'm talking about. Y'all get me on here. Let's get this thing going.
You're a busy guy, though, Mo.
There it is.
We can't get a hold of you. About.
I'm glad y'all got me on, baby. What's up?
We had to get you on the phone, but we're glad to have you here, man. Dre Hudson. We also got Ryan Van Dyke sitting in with us on this one, too, man.
Ty Duckett right here. What's up, brother? How you doing?
Can you still throw it, baby?
Man, you letting them go.
I'm still trying. Not as good as you, though.
Yeah.
Or Dre.
Hey, Mo, we got into a conversation a minute ago about the way sports and music kind of tie in together. And why is it that all athletes think that they can finish up with their careers and make a rap album?
That's funny, because all athletes think they can rap, and all rappers think they can play sports. it's funny how it goes, because I think Steven Jackson actually got an album supposed to be coming out, and it's just funny, man, because at the end of the day, it's just one big community with athletics and music. I mean, everybody kind of get along, especially even with entertainers and actors and stuff like that. It's just like one big fraternity. But, you know, me personally, I'd rather be behind the scenes on the music, because I tried to go in the studio and rap, and a pro is a pro, a Joe is a Joe, and I was Joey that day. Boy, I can't rap to save my life.
That's all right. Hey, y'all, it's Ty Duncan here. I got a question. I want to take it back to, and Van Dyke actually posed this question earlier, but when you were in college, man, the greatness that you displayed, the confidence, being the floor general, all of that, where did that come from? What sparked the charisma? What sparked the energy to motivate and to lead the way you did?
You know what's funny? I think it, you know, it started in my house. You know, I was the youngest of five kids, and you know, just being beat up on all the time. I couldn't wait to, you know, get around. Even playing, when I played sports, I always played above and played with older guys. So I couldn't wait to actually get around people my age. And I just think that gave me the confidence to be able to lead. And even being coming from Flint, and Timbo knows this, we started really competitive games at the age of 7, 8 years old. It's not like, you know, now 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds, everybody got to play. Well, when I was coming up, shoot, if you weren't in that top 5 or 7 guys in that rotation, you weren't touching the floor. And it taught us how to compete. And, I mean, once I got that first taste of that trophy, man, I think that just took my competitive nature to a whole other level. But as far as leading, I just think sometimes you got to be born with it. And I was one of those guys that came out the womb with it.
Yeah. Do you think that competition isn't there anymore, especially for the youth? Do you think that they're not put in a situation to achieve that? Like you said, everyone has to play. Everyone has to get a trophy. Do you think that that's the standard now?
Oh, yeah. The competition is nowhere near that now. Yeah. And that's why when you look at not only the NBA, when you look at the NFL and other respective sports, the competitive nature is not there. You may remember when we grew up and we watched the Bad Boys going against Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. They didn't like each other. The Lakers and the Celtics go against each other. The Cowboys, 49ers, the Lions, the Bears, whoever it was, they did not like each other. And when they went out on a court or field or whatever it was, they tried to kill each other. Now you got guys laughing and joking and playing around before playoff games, not regular season games. Yeah. Now, playoff games, and I just don't like it. And I think something that hurts that is AAU crap, you know. And I don't mind AAU, but I like it when it's ran the right way. Now they're playing 5 or 6 games in one day, but they're not playing hard all those games. Yeah. They're going on just who gets the most stats, and it's not about winning. It's about me getting the most stats. So I think that's hurting somewhat, but we got to figure out, fellas, how to get this competitive thing back, man. We're definitely lacking it now in sports.
I agree. Another question I got. Now, fast forward, and I'm going to harp on this competing, this competitiveness. Fast forward, you're a businessman now. You're an entrepreneur. You got a lot of things going on. Is that the competition? Is there still that hunger? Is there still that drive in this next life of yours, I should say?
Oh, that's funny, because one thing, and we lucky, fellas, because we know the blueprint on what it takes to be successful. None of us would have made it to Michigan State without hard work.
True.
And I take that same energy, that same mentality, and just put it in whatever I'm doing, whether that's broadcasting, whether that's radio, whether that's managing and running a record label with John Connor. I don't care what it is. I'm going to put that same energy, that same effort, and to be successful, and I think we learn those qualities by coming up as athletes, and we know the blueprint, so we can just push that same energy into whatever we're doing now and run that lane, then we're going to be all right.
Beautiful. Yeah, I mean, that's good stuff, Mo. Kind of getting back on topic, man. We were kind of trying to correlate this whole relationship between athletes and music, and you kind of talkly briefed on how all athletes want to be rappers and rappers want to be athletes, but I think that relationship really starts at an early age, man. You talked about how you know you're really competitive early and playing and really hating to lose and really wanted to win. But I think, you know, as we grow, I think all of us sitting in this room went through that situation, but as we grew, you know, we started to develop other aspects of our game, and I think a lot of that was like a swag, you know what I mean, that a lot of these kids pick up now. And I think a lot of that comes from music. And I think that's why that correlation is so deep between athletes and musicians, is because it really drives them to become better players. You know what I mean? It gives them that showmanship in game situations, just from lyrics. You know, from words you hear from different musicians. I mean, how can you relate to that in some way? Because I know we had a chant that we came out to probably at least three years in a row, you know what I mean, that pop.
We kept it until I graduated.
Oh, did you guys keep it going too?
Yeah, we kept it.
I mean, that was huge, man. That got us going. It was like, you know what I mean, it was our chant to get us in fight mode, you know what I mean? And I think a lot of kids, even today, are kind of coming up in that way, but they almost take it the wrong way, you know what I mean?
Well, you know what? It's different, you know, because when we was coming up, as rough as Tupac was, boy, I mean, some of the stuff he said made a lot of sense. You know what I mean? And just our chant, when the pressure's on, it's a hit. Ski mask, extra gas, random clip. Don't nobody move when we walk the street. They say silence, because talk is cheap.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And we listened to Tupac. That what got us going. And I think from day one, even as kids, you listen to music and it's something, whether if it's in the lyrics, the hook, or whether it's the beat, it's something that gets you going. And you are definitely making a great point. There's definitely a correlation there. And for me personally, it was Tupac that got me going. Now you look at some of these guys now, it's the Jay-Z's and the Kanye West or whatever. I don't care what it is, but music, I definitely was one of those guys that had the headphones on before every game. Yeah. That's for sure.
Mo, after you got done playing, and we all know that feeling of running out of the tunnel and the crowd going crazy and that feeling, and when it's gone, you start searching for ways to find it. How hard was it for you to kind of figure out your new lane and your new path that you wanted to take once your career was over? Because we've all gone through it to where we're really searching and we've been almost afraid of that next step because we didn't know what it was going to be. How hard was it for you to find that next step?
Hey, that's funny you say that, Timbo, because you do that when people ask you, what do you miss about the game? And that's one of the things, you know, just coming out of that tunnel at Breslin Center and a crowd going crazy, sitting in the locker room, camaraderie, having camaraderie with your boys, your teammates, your brothers, your family members. And that's what you do miss. But one thing in me with broadcasting and the radio and stuff like that, that's I get my fix. And I treat broadcasting the same way I treated playing basketball. Everybody has a hand in a show being successful, just like in basketball, everybody had a hand if the team won the game, whether that's the practice player getting you ready the day before the game, going over the scouting report, the coaches, or, you know, your teammates, you passing the ball, or Dre got to set a screen to get me open. If I don't get open, I don't get the ball, I can't pass them OP. So all that, and the same thing when broadcasting. If the producers didn't put together a great game plan, if the cameraman ain't right, then I look crazy on TV. If the editor not editing the drops properly, then I'm not looking right. If I'm not producing well, if I'm not talking right, if I'm not on point, then everything is bad. So everybody has a hand in making the show successful. That's why after every show I give everybody a high five. I embrace everybody because I understand the team concept. I learned that from sports. But I take that same mentality and put it in broadcast, and that's where I get my fix from, Timbo.
So you just carried it right on over, right on through.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Yeah. It was an easy transition for me because I always been about team, and you want to make everybody feel a part of it because, like I said, if I'm not the cameraman, don't have me on there, then now you just hear a voice. If the audio guy is not right, now I'm just sitting on there, my lips just moving. If the producer don't put together a great game plan, now I'm on there just blibber blabber. So everybody has a hand in making it work. But I took that same concept from playing stuff I learned at Michigan State, and now I think that's why we have successful shows on every show that I am because I try to make it a family atmosphere.
Yeah.
Hey, Mateen, it's Van Dyke. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, baby? How you doing?
Great, great. Hey, I had a quick question for you. And I follow you on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and I just want to say congratulations, on a successful sports commentary career so far. Yeah, thanks, Tim.
I got you.
I'm trying to get it out. You know? That's why you do it. I'm on the radio, huh?
Hey, Vandy, I hope you wasn't in the huddle calling plays like that when the game was on the line.
Time out, Coach DeWitt. But seriously, transitioning from sports and getting into your broadcasting career behind the scenes, what is something that you needed to develop in order to be successful at what you're doing?
Well, really, you know, I had to work on my speech because it's a lot different than sitting there in the locker room or in the barbershop kicking it with your boys. And then when you're sitting on TV, now you got to watch what you say. You got to watch how you say it. And when that red light is on and it's live, it ain't no taking it back. So I had to get used to that. But, you know, it's great, man. I've been having so much fun with it. It was different. And just like with everything else, it's repetition. You have to get used to it. But, man, hey, you know, I made it fun. And when I first got on there, I was kind of stiff. And what I would do, just like you did in football, just like we did in basketball, I would go home and watch the film. Yeah. I would go home and watch it. And then critique myself. And a lot of times I sit in the mirror, I will re-answer the questions, look in the mirror to myself. It's so much stuff that you learn from athletics, and I respect the sport, that you can take it in what you're doing And that's what I did. You know, I went back to the film. You know, that film don't lie. But if you miss a read, Vandy, then it don't lie when you're watching the film with that coach. And the same thing in basketball. If you're not running back on defense, it's going to sell it. Same thing I did, man. When I was out there, when I didn't say a question or answer a question correctly, I saw that. And going back to our old ways, we learned that state is helping me now.
You're tuned to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
You're listening to Spartan Dogs Podcast Radio. Special guest, Mateen Cleaves. Timbo, you got a question?
I did. Mo, how do we get these kids back to focusing on the process like you were just talking about and less focused on that goal at the end?
Yeah.
Getting back to putting that work in.
Because they want it now.
Yeah.
But you got to work. You got to work. And what they don't understand, a lot of these kids see us on TV at Michigan State, and they think we just woke up one day and we were on TV. No, it was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. It was a lot of parties we missed. It was a lot of sacrifice that came into us being on TV or being playing in national championship games or Big Ten game, whatever the case is. And I think what it is, we got to go back to the old school. We got to quit praising these kids and telling them how good they are. When I was coming up, I never heard how good I was, especially from my immediate family, my brothers, the people that was close to me. It was always like, okay, good game. Well, you could have did this better. You got to continue to work. Well, you know, it was never, you're on your way, or you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. They telling these kids at 13 that they're great.
Yeah,
come on. That's the problem.
Right.
So it's going to start with us. It's going to start with people that they respect that went on and had success. You know, played on the Division I level, played overseas, played in the NFL, NBA. Mm-hmm. It's going to take guys like us that got that experience to tell these kids that they respect. You know, you got to put in the work. You got to pay the cost to be the boss, you know. And so I just think that's what it's going to be. We got to quit telling these kids how good they are when they're really not that good.
I got a good question because you mentioned just a second ago how the kids saw us on TV and see us doing our thing. We did the same thing, though. I mean, we saw people on TV having success, winning big games. But for whatever reason, when we saw that, we would go outside and work at it. It wasn't that we saw it and it was going to happen. Osmosis was just going to happen from watching TV. And why is there a question or is there an answer of why did we take that and say that's what we want to do, but these are the steps that they have to go? Like, I remember a game watching, I can't remember who the quarterback was, but they always said when you're rolling left, never throw right, never throw across your body. So I saw that. I went outside and I'm rolling left, throwing across my body. Just why? Why should you not do that? Instead of just actually believing what they said, why is it that kids don't work? And I mean, I know you just answered it, but that's something that it really gets me on the inside, because they think it's just going to happen naturally, and there isn't the extra. Is it from, like you said, the family not doing it? Is it the coaches not doing it? Is it their peers not pushing them?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And you was lucky to have a big brother that you could look up to that was right there in your home. My brother didn't make it on Division I level, but I saw I saw it. I was going to the high school games. I was around it.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
Man, from elementary, our coaches was hard on us. It was not nobody telling us how good we were. I don't care who you was, man. You had to be the hardest worker out on the floor. They didn't care who you were, and I was blessed.
Yeah.
I was blessed to be around in the elementary from junior high to have a great high school coach, and then Coach Izzo, he just topped it off. So, man, I was lucky, but that's what it is. The problem is the parent. Everybody thinks their son or daughter is the next LeBron James or Brittany Grinder, and they not truthful with their kids.
Okay.
Like, you know, I got a son right now that's 15 years old. I told him the other day, right now you got a junior college workout.
Yeah.
I mean, a work ethic. You have a junior college work ethic. You don't have a Division I work ethic.
Yeah.
And I say, you'll thank me later. And I'm not going to sit up here and let you fool yourself and think you work. As soon as you sweat, you done. No. As soon as you think you're tired, you go put in another 30 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
So it's going to take people like us who have success. And that's the key, guys. We got to give back, because the problem is these kids are listening to people who never played,
who never
had to grind. And we got to get back in our communities, man, not only where we played at up in Lansing, not only here, but whenever we're around, share the wealth, man.
Beautiful.
You got to share the wealth with these kids.
And yeah, we know we've had you for on here a while. We want to give you a chance to talk a little about John Connor. Talk a little bit about him and his maturation as an artist and what he's got going on.
This guy, he has it. He has it. Each one of you guys that's sitting in that room right now, it's an it factor about you. What is it? I don't have a definition for it, but it's just something about you. And he has it. That's why I gravitated to John Connor, because he know what he wants to be, but yeah, he's willing to put that work behind it to be successful. And he's a humble person. That's why I really think he's going to have success in his music. That's why I took a chance and getting involved with him and trying to help him. Connor reminds me of myself so much. And like when I was a basketball player, I was a gym rat. I put in the work, I worked hard, and the response came. You know, the reward came. Some of these people are not willing to put in that work. John Connor is, he's special, he's gifted, but yet he's humble enough, he's willing to work, and that's why I think he'll be successful. And you'll love his music if you hear it. Now, if I just give you a CD, you're going to fall in love with him. When you see him actually perform, he performs, guys, like we play. He performs like we play. He's going to leave everything out on that stage, and that's another reason why I think he's going
to
make it.
Does he want to do does he want to do a collaboration album with us?
Oh, yeah. No, but what we're going to do, we'll do a collaboration with you guys, but we're going to let John Connor write and perform everything else. He just needs you guys to stand around and look good like you do, baby. All you guys still handsome, so just stand around and look good.
I'm good with that.
Hey, man, we are wrapping up here. Just want to ask you a question to our listeners. Any advice, anything that you know, you've learned, you've picked up that you want to give our listeners at all? You've dropped a bunch of nuggets already. Was there something that you want to leave them with?
Well, really, man, this is the same thing, man. Just coming from Flint, man, and being blessed to be able to befriend you guys, to be able to interact with you guys. Man, you know, LeBron said something. He's from the inner city of Akron after they won the championship, and he's not supposed to be there. I look at it the same way, man. People say, why are you so happy? I'm like, because I'm not supposed to be here. I look at where I'm from, and a lot of people that grew up next door or down the street dead or in jail or just not making good decisions in life. And me to have great parents around me, to have the success that I had, to be able to interact with you guys, I'm happy, man. So enjoy every day like it's your last, man. And that's my advice to everybody, because you don't know when you're going. I tell you what, when they close the casket on me, baby, it ain't no coming back. They can put me in there with my thumbs up because I went happy. So I'm going to enjoy every day like it's my last.
There it is. That's one awesome. Of Michigan State's greatest that did it. A lot of people were here that were great, but you actually did it, bro. One of the greatest ever. Yeah.
Appreciate you joining us.
Man, I appreciate it, baby. I appreciate you guys, my spotting family, man. Keep doing what y'all are doing. And don't forget about me when y'all go big time. Yeah. Now. Don't forget about me, mom.
Hey, you're a smart dog, too, baby. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Mo,
yes, sir.
Mo,
thank you.
All right. Love y'all, man.
All right, yeah, bro.
That was another Spartan Dog podcast featuring Todd Duckett, Tim Bogracus, Andre Hudson, and guests Ryan Van Dyke and Mateen Cleaves. To hear the conversation again or to hear any of the Spartan Dog podcast, please visit SpartanPodcast.com.
I'm Scott Westerman from the MSU Alumni Association. Whether you're moving across town or across the country, relocating to a new job or a new city is always a challenge. When you join the MSU Alumni Association family, wherever you go, you'll have an instant circle of friends on hand to help you get settled and get connected. With more than 100 clubs and affiliates around the world, there's a Spartan in just about every city. And as an MSU Alumni Association member, you'll quickly feel right at home. Wherever you go, community, connections, careers, and class, 4 great reasons to visit alumni.msu.edu today to activate your membership in the largest Spartan organization in the world. That's alumni.msu.edu, the Michigan State University Alumni Association, your personal network for life.
The University Research Corridor, empowering Michigan.
This is an association of the 3 research universities in Michigan to really collaborate on a deeper level than we have in the past and highlight for ourselves and for the region and for the nation the strength in technology, innovation, new research, investment that we think is going to help change the Michigan economy.
That's University of Michigan President Mary Sue Coleman.
The mission of the URC is no less than to help transform the Michigan economy. and to make this a vibrant place that young people will want to come and stay, that businesses will want to be in, because we are a place where a lot is happening, and we have the brain power for the new economy. It's here. It's in Michigan. We just need to tap it.
Visit us online at urcmich.org.
So Michigan is vibrant. Michigan has all these things, and we want to signal that to the entire world.
Visit the University Research Corridor online at urcmich.org.
MSU AgBio Research is changing the face of science.
People should know that AgBio Research is really the first front at MSU dealing with environmental issues and natural resources issues.
Dr. Steve Papke leads MSU AgBio Research. More than 300 scientists from six MSU colleges are leading innovation in food, natural resources, and energy.
MSU AgBio Research really is changing the face of science. If we can do that right, we create economic opportunities here in Michigan and opportunities for our researchers to make some really interesting discoveries.
Our goal is to generate economic prosperity, sustain natural resources, and enhance the quality of life for all.
We're MSU AgBio Research.
Visit agbioresearch.msu.edu. MSU AgBio Research is changing the face of science.
MSU, we love thy shadows.
Our mission is to be your personal network for life.
Scott Westerman leads the Michigan State University Alumni Association.
Sing our love for alma mater.
So what that means is when you graduate from college, we'll help you find your first career. When you move to any city, anywhere, we'll help you connect and settle. If you're mid-career and want to reinvent yourself, we'll help you find a new passion. And if you need advice or a friend anywhere in the world, the MSU Alumni Association will connect you with the 500,000 Spartans out there that are always ready to take your call.
Join the Michigan State University Alumni Association online at alumni.msu.edu.
And thy praises
alumni.msu.edu.
You're listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
Visit us online at SpartanPodcast.com.
Thank you for listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Please visit us online at SpartanPodcast.com and join us every Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock for MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.